these are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning. You are tuned in to Problem Corner on this damp Monday morning. And your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for He Who Cannot Be Named. And with me this morning is April Trickey, the borough clerk, Fairbanks North Star borough clerk. And we are going to be talking about the local elections that the early voting has started this morning as of 8 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Oh, okay. So we're just hitting it at just the right time. Very good. So we're going to be talking about where to vote, when to vote, why to vote, and all those good things. But first, we got to talk about the borough clerk's office, because April, you were the understudy for Nancy
Ashford Bingham.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the understudy I just forgot all the names.
Mona
Lisa Drexler, which goes back to when I was on the assembly. And the clerk's office is just really a good bunch of folks that are focused on doing things right.
That's
and
correct.
That comes, as far as I know, it goes back all the way to Mona Lisa, and she was there for quite a while. But so, but tell us a little bit about the clerk's office.
Well, the borough clerk's office, we do a lot of things. One of the things that a lot of people know us for is we assist the elected officials, the assembly members on the legislative branch of the borough, and we work with them. We attend the meetings and we record their meetings. We produce ordinances, resolutions, agendas, all things, and we're really the connective part of the borough where we connect the local elected officials with the public and make sure that those resources are out there. Plus, we do some records management and then, of course, elections.
Elections, yes. What's going on now? And you do quite a bit of work to prepare for the elections, and your function is to make sure that the outcome is fair and accurate. I think that's the long and the short of it.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, you've gone through a big issue has been the electronic vote tabulators. And could you tell us a little bit about what you go through, the process that you go through to make sure that those are accurate?
Okay. So we're talking about the precinct tabulators, where when you go to vote on election day or you go to vote at the early vote station, after you vote, you run your ballot through that tabulator. And prior to those being deployed out to either the early vote station or the precincts on elections day, we have a logical and accuracy testing board that runs through each one of the machines. They run them through a test to verify that, number one, they have the correct election, the right precinct for that particular machine, and make sure that the results are accurate. And so that's part of the process that we do. And before that board receives that, I also do some testing just to make sure that our ballots are running through correctly so I can let our ballot printer know and that the results are correct and everything's working. We also test to make sure things are transmitting correctly through the transmission. That board does that.
Mm-hmm.
And once that's done, everything is sealed up and machines are off until the election officials, the chair of each of the precincts, pick up their machines, and then on election morning with their board, they open up those, we call it opening the polls on the precinct tabulators. And they do a zero report test to make sure that all the, there are no election results on the machine before the polls open. They verify that it is for their precinct. It has all the contests that are supposed to be there for that precinct. So if it's a city borough precinct, they verify that they have the borough races and the city races. If it's just borough, they only have borough races, and there's zero reports, and they open up the polls.
And they print out this zero report is a
printed
mm-hmm. cash register receipt, kind of a receipt
that correct.
They then hang on to establish the condition of the machine before the voting actually starts.
That's correct. Okay.
And then voters come in and they walk up to the poll worker. They meet the poll worker. And what happens from there?
So after they voted their ballot and they're ready to scan their ballot into the precinct tabulator, the poll worker just instructs them to go ahead and scan it in. And we always ask them to wait till you hear the beep. We know that your ballot has been casted. Mm-hmm. If for some reason you overvoted a race, it will come back at you and say you overvoted a race in which particular race. Mm-hmm. And you can read that on the LCD screen there, or you can ask for assistance from one of the poll workers, and they will let you know that you've overvoted, and you can ask for a new ballot so that you can vote again for that race, so mm-hmm. you can make sure that the candidate you're voting for has been marked correctly. Mm-hmm. That gives you that opportunity to do that. And for some reason, and sometimes this happens, and I know some people don't understand it, some people go, no, that's okay, that's not really the race I came in to vote for, and they'll cast their ballot just like that. And mm-hmm. but that's the voter that makes that decision. It's not an election official.
Mm-hmm. And then if there is a spoiled ballot, mm-hmm. the election workers have to keep track of all of those, and they
correct.
Account for all of the ballots that were there, and the spoiled ballots are in a separate pile, but they have mm-hmm. to be accounted for as well.
Absolutely. Every yeah. ballot that we issue, which we issue paper ballots, we have been doing that for years, always had paper ballots. The election officials will get, 1,000 ballots, and they have to tell me by the end of the night what we call a ballot accountability report. What happened with those 1,000 ballots? Were so many, how many were used and how many were not used? And then they have to even go further and do a statement where it says how those ballots were used. Where, mm-hmm. was it because they had, 450 people come through the line and sign the register and vote? How many provisional or question ballots were issued, and also how many spoiled ballots were issued? And that should end up being the same amount of ballots that were issued. So they right. they've got a little bit of math at the end of the night to do and right. Tell us how they do, what happened.
Right. And they ask the voters, well, for their name and identification, mm-hmm. and then you're supposed to initial the sign-in list, and they count up the number of people that signed the list, mm-hmm. and the number of voted ballots has to be equal to the number that signed the list.
Well, signed the list and the number of spoiled ballots
yep.
and question ballots, so they have to take all of those
all of
into accountability, yes. and it should equal the same amount of ballots issued that night
right.
or the day.
And that takes about an hour or so, if everything goes right, after mm-hmm. the polls close, which is why it takes a while to get the results on election night. And they get everything together at the precinct station, get all of the records correct, mm-hmm. and then they break the seal on a what? To transmit the data back to your office.
Right. So actually, the first thing that we try to have them do is to go through the closing procedures for the precinct tabulator. And so they have a team there, and they've got a couple teams. They have a couple people who are closing the precinct tabulator, while we have a couple people who are starting to work on the ballot statement and the accountability report. And so once the polls have been closed, sometimes for some reasons, there are sometimes where ballots just won't run through. And we ask them to put them in the emergency compartment, and they just verify to see if they can run those ballots through. Those are the ballots that have been voted by someone who signed the precinct register. And they go through a whole process there. And if they can't get a ballot ran through, we call it an uncounted ballot, and they stick it in an envelope so that when it comes to the borough building on election night, we can make that precinct's results whole. But once they go through those processes, they will go ahead and they'll close the polls. And when they close the polls, it automatically prints the results of the precinct for that precinct. And they print a couple tapes there that we have. Once that has been done, then they go through and they transmit the results. And that they break a seal on the precinct tabulator that where they can plug in a modem, a cellular modem, which they plug into, and then they transmit the results to the borough building, which I receive in our election server room, which we validate and stuff at that time. So sometimes the results come in really quickly because we really try to make it to work out when they're closing the polls. We've got a couple people working on that, a couple people working on the ballot statements so they can get out of there because they've had a long day. And once they come in, they transmit the results, they close up their polls, they take care of their accountability, you know, break everything down. And then they have two people, it's typically the chair and one other person, who transport all the ballots back to us, all the supplies and everything back to the borough building that night.
All right. And that's a good place to take a break. We are up on the quarter past the hour, so we have to stop, take a little break, and listen to some words from our program sponsors. So stay with us. We will be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Some people accuse me of laying down on the job. Well, they're not wrong. That's how it works. Septic tanks are made to lay down on the job. I did not choose my profession. It is lonely and far from easy, but it's honest work, and I do it well with a little help from my family. They have Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing pump me out once a year. I find it quite invigorating, and I continue to serve them much better.
Hello, Fairbanks. Brett Roderman, Borough Assembly candidate here with an important message for voters. This year, due to a code change, you have an amazing opportunity to help us preserve, protect, verify, and validate the integrity of our voting system. If you vote early this year, your vote will be hand-counted against our tabulation machines. That's right, hand-counted. Many of you out there have expressed reservations about the accuracy of these machines. Well, here's your chance to prove it. You must vote early, and you must vote the entire ballot. Why? Because only one contested race will be hand-counted. Only one. Only votes cast at our early polling station will be hand-counted. Early voting starts on your regular election day as October 7th. Please join me in early voting this year to be part of something great. Help us prove our elections are honest and fair. Thank you.
Paid for by Brett for Assembly, P.O. Box 80741, Fairbanks 99708.
Backed by popular demand, the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center reintroduces Walk-In Wednesdays from 8 to 4. Bring in your hearing aids to have them cleaned and adjusted, even if you purchase them somewhere else. This will keep your aids running at their best, making sure you don't miss anything. And if you're struggling with hearing loss, you can come in and get a second opinion to see if there's something available to help you hear better. Walk-In Wednesdays from your friends at the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center. Find out more at fairbankshearing.com.
KFAR weather.
Rain likely today, otherwise overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 47, westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy again tonight, chance for rain becoming mixed precipitation, lows around 32. Cloudy tomorrow, slight chance for a mix of rain and snow, highs level off around 43. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and with me in the studio is April Tricky, the borough clerk, and we're talking about the local election the early voting just started today, and we're talking about all the different ways that you can vote and participate in the local election for city council, borough assembly, and school board seats. And I forgot to mention earlier, if you have questions or comments, want to call in, the number to call in is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. So with that, moving on, we talked a little bit about what goes on at the polling stations when people come in to vote there on Election Day. But there are other options that people can exercise. One of them is early voting and absentee in person, I believe that's called. Could you give us the details on that?
Absolutely. So we started today our early voting station at the Bentley Mall. You can go in and vote just like you do at your precinct. So your expectation is you come in, you show us your ID, we verify we qualify you at the early voting station, that you are a qualified voter. You're on the voter registration rolls for the Fairbanks North Star Borough. We also determine whether or not, based upon where you are registered to vote, whether or not you also are qualified for a city ballot, either the city of Fairbanks or the city of North Pole, so you can vote both those ballots if you are a qualified voter for those municipalities. And we just verify that your residence address is correct on the registration rolls, and then you sign a form, and you basically are stating when you come and vote early that this information that we provided you is correct and that you will not vote in any other way of the borough. So that's really important. You only get to vote once, but you can always vote early. And then you'll receive your ballots that you're qualified for. You'll vote, and then you'll take those ballots and you'll run them through the tabulator machine there for the early vote station. The difference between early voting and in-person absentee, as I said, at early voting, we qualify you that you are a qualified voter for the elections and for the ballots that you receive. And also, those election results are available on election night with the other 32 precincts that are open on election day. In-person absentee, we have two stations. They are at the City of Fairbanks City Clerk's Office, and also the City Clerk's Office there in North Pole, where you can vote a borough ballot or the city ballot that is there. And their hours of operation are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And they will continue to vote people in person until the day before the election, which is October 6. I'll talk a little bit. At an in-person absentee station, you're required to fill out some more paperwork and required to fill out an oath and affidavit envelope, which asks for additional information like identifiers, residence address, mailing address. And at that time, when you vote in-person absentee, we seal up your ballot. It's not counted until later, as after the election. We have a canvas board that reviews those in-person absentee envelopes to verify that you are a qualified voter, and also verify which ballots you are qualified to receive and vote for where you are located. So that's the big difference. And I will say that the early vote station, we are open by the mall's hours there at the Bentley Mall. We are going to be early voting people from September 22nd through October 2nd, and that's straight through from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And on Sunday, September 28th at 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. We'll turn our early vote station into an in-person absentee station, which we will be conducting in-person absentee. They're at the early voting for those that do not, which we cannot find on our register rolls. And on that Friday before and the Monday before the election, we're not open that weekend before the election. We will be doing our in-person voting. And one other way about in-person voting that is unique, and I really wanted to get this on the air, was a special needs ballot. So let's say you end up at the hospital and you can't get to the early vote station or in-person station, and you can't get there on election day. You can have a representative come to either the early vote station or any or the other two in-person absentee stations, and that representative can pick a ballot up for you. They have to sign the envelope, put their information down, and then they get instructions and they take the ballot to where that person is, where it's at the hospital. Or maybe you're a person who it's very hard to get out of your home for any number of reasons. You can go ahead and have a representative come pick you a ballot. And then you will complete that envelope, you vote your ballot, and then a representative just has to, or somebody has to return that envelope back to the, either the early vote station or the in-person absentee stations or at any precinct. It doesn't have to be returned back. So that's another form of in-person absentee voting, is that special needs ballot. I'd also say that we have accessible voting machines for those who are able to come into the early voting station or the absentee stations. They can vote on a an accessible voting machine, which will help someone if they are blind and they can't read the ballot. They can hear it. They can work through it. Once they have completed voting, it prints on a paper ballot, and they can cast their vote that way. And again, we don't have them at the precincts on election day, but they are available at the early voting station and also the in-person absentee stations.
Okay. So we have a phone call.
Okay.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with? Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
This is Kelly Nash. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes.
Okay. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. And you?
Good, good. So, April, I just have a question. When someone is in the hospital, or if they're, you know, secluded at home or whatever because of health reasons, and a representative comes in to get that ballot for them, is there any limit to one representative gathering so many ballots, or how do you guys check that?
Good question. Thank you.
So there is not a limit in borough code or in city code on how many ballots that you can be a representative for. I do know that here, like at the Denali Center or the Pioneer Home, typically one of the representatives is either a volunteer or it's sometimes even one of their workers that will come over and be the representative for those folks to be able to pick up to get a ballot. So,
but they
okay,
have.
But I mean,
go ahead. Sorry.
I get. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So, how do you? Just any person comes in, there's no special paperwork or anything that says they're a representative. Just, I mean, how do you have proof that the ballot that they're picking up is for someone that actually can't get to the polls?
Well, we have no excuse in-person voting, absentee voting. So we, that person has to show their identification to us. They have to provide the voter's name and their information and their contact information. And so when the ballot is returned, remember, it goes through a review process because we don't know whether or not that actual voter is qualified to vote. So our canvas board will review the information there and verify that that person is qualified.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right, great. Thank you for calling. And I am hearing music in the background. Scorpion. A band I haven't heard of, but what it means is the satellite is coming overhead and it's going to take over the show in just a few minutes, a few seconds. And you're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and April Tricky is with me in the studio, and we're talking about local elections. And we will be right back after national news and weather and some words from our sponsors. Stay with us.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM. 668.
News, I'm Tom Graham. The White House teasing an announcement about autism later this afternoon.
The president, joined by HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., you have Dr. Oz, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, they're all going to be there. They have an answer, they say, and that would be reportedly that there is a connection with maternal use of Tylenol during pregnancy and rising autism rates. This is, of course, going to be a very controversial initial conclusion to be coming to.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff at the White House. Russian President Vladimir Putin announcing that Moscow will adhere to nuclear arms limits for one more year after the last remaining nuclear pact with the U.S. expires.
We believe this measure will only be viable if the United States acts in a similar manner.
Now, the treaty limits each country to 1,550 deployed nuclear warheads. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports that increased rainfall and wind across southeast Alaska are raising concerns about landslides and flooding. The city and borough of Juneau is monitoring conditions as increased rainfall is expected in the region, already causing flooding. Small landslides were reported in the Elk Lake area Saturday, according to the CBJ. We've seen impacts in the Elk Lake area and elevated waters around Montana Creek, so we're really encouraging folks, if you're around Montana Creek, Mendenhall River, or any bodies of water that are impacted during heavy precipitation events, we're urging extreme caution around those bodies of water, said Ryan O'Shaughnessy, CBJ Emergency Programs Manager. Over in Ketchikan, the 3rd Avenue Bypass Road reopened Saturday after heavy rainfall resulted in its closure. The town saw a deadly landslide about a year ago in the area of that bypass. The city is continuing to monitor the situation as more rain and heavy winds are expected. Wrangell also issued a public service announcement about increased landslide risk on Saturday.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hi there, my name is Garrett Armstrong, and I love our local schools. I went through schools in Fairbanks, earned my master's in education at UAF, and now teach at Woodruff Elementary, the same school I attended. I'm running for Borough Assembly to support our students. I want them to have the best educational opportunities possible, and I believe this is the greatest investment that we can make in our community's future. If you agree, then vote for me, Garrett Armstrong, for Borough Assembly this October 7th. Paid for by Garrett Armstrong for Borough Assembly. P.O. Box 73724, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99707.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m., Behind the Mission with United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Alaska Tracks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. All 4 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. And with me in the studio is April Trickey, and we are talking about local elections, the local election process of how the clerks keep track of ballots, and where you can vote, and all those good things. So let's go from there. And you have the voter guide, Notice of Elections, Tuesday, October 7th, 2025. And why is that important?
So the notice of election that we have that we publish 30 days prior to the election, that's required by state statute, Title 29, and also the borough and city code. And this is a notice that notices the voters of the election. In this notice, it tells you a lot of the things that I've talked about on how to vote, where to vote. It also lists the polling place locations, what voter qualifications are, what is on the ballot for each one of the municipalities. A few years back, the cities and the borough jointly are issuing this notice of election now. It also includes a sample ballot, so you can take a look at that and see who's on the ballot and be prepared for election day.
Okay. And that has the polling station locations, correct?
That's correct. We have 32 polling places. here throughout the borough, and it has the locations of that, the addresses, and also the time, which we're open at 7 a.m. till 8 p.m. on Election Day.
Mm-hmm. And if you have your, still have your voter's card, the precinct, let me think about this, precinct number should still correspond with that list.
That's correct. On your voter card, there is a precinct number and also the precinct name. They are the same locations as the state of Alaska. We use their polling locations that they secure. The one thing that I would just notice is that, like for the Aurora precinct, it is at the fairgrounds, but is now at the George Gasser Hall. Okay. So it's in a different location, but it's the same address. We will have some signs out there. We also sent out a postcard to all those that were registered to vote in the Aurora precinct, letting them know of the building location change.
Okay, good. And we have a phone call. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Good morning, Mike. I have been voting the last few years over at Stoppers Forum. Mm-hmm. And I would like to know why why you switched from Shoppers Forum to Bentley Mall.
Oh, for the early voting, right?
Yes.
Yeah, good question. Thank you. April.
Well, good for the Shoppers Forum. Their locations have filled up. They had one location that was available that was a hair salon, which isn't appropriate for an early voting station. And they had one other place that was available for us that was just too small for us. So we had to go out and find a new location. And we were able to secure a place at the Bentley Mall. And that's why we've really been trying to get it out there that the early voting has changed to the Bentley Mall. And it has to do with just there wasn't space available for us at the Shoppers Forum this year.
Good.
Okay, that explains it. I did see online some comment, and it wasn't exactly about the borough voting setup, but something involving Shoppers Forum that it wasn't appropriate to be in a mall where there was alcohol served or alcohol sold, I guess. Is that, I don't even know if that's still the case, but was that part of the discussion?
No, it was not part of the discussion at all. It was really, we just did not have space for us. They would have loved to have us there again, but the spaces that were available just were not appropriate for the early voting station.
Okay.
Well, and sort of a budget question, did they provide that free of charge, or did you actually have to pay for the space?
We've paid for the space. We do a temporary rental agreement for 1 month. We did that with the Shoppers Forum. That's in the Division of Elections budget under the Department of the Assembly. And we were able to secure a place within our budget there at the Bentley Mall.
Okay.
So the number is buried somewhere in the 1,000-page book.
I will tell you that it's over $4,000 and under $5,000, but I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head.
Okay. Thank you. We have another call. Thank you for calling. Let's go on to the next one.
All right, Mike.
Thank you. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Hi, it's Kelly again. I just had one more question. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Is there still the, I don't know if it's an ordinance or rule or election law or whatever, that people can come and vote, and if they don't have their ID, as long as the election worker can vouch for them, they can still vote?
That is correct. There is in our borough code that says that if a person personally knows the person, they can vote. And what I train our election officials means is that if you know what my name is, without me telling you my name, and you can look it up in the precinct register, then you personally know that person. A lot of people use nicknames or other shorter names, and people aren't aware of that. And if you can't look that person's legal name up, then we say you don't personally know them. So you have to be able to absolutely look up that person and know who that person is. And it needs to be the person who's working the precinct register,
mm-hmm,
because they're the person who's validating and marking that they personally knew that person.
Yep.
Okay.
Good
awesome.
Point.
Thank we you so much.
Something we should keep track of before we go to the pools. And we have another call, yeah. So let's go to that call. Good morning. Hello. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Hi, my name's Mike.
Well, that's a good name.
Yes, it is, Mr. Prax. So I've worked for like 3 years at the Stees East, and now I currently work most elections at the newbie polling place, although I won't be there this October 7th. But so I'm really familiar with the voting process. I want to just tell everybody that's listening that those voting machines are very safe, very accurate, a lot of redundancy. So that's that. So I have a question for April. The borough is involved in every election, whether it's local, state, or federal, correct?
No, the borough is only involved in the local election. The state of Alaska Division of Election administers and run the state and federal election in November. We are not involved in that. Right. We do, at times, myself or one of the deputies will may help out the state as a rover, so you may see one of us roving just to help out the state, but we're taking the day off from our normal jobs and helping the state out, state off.
Okay. So, well, that I'll have to reduce my question then. How much does a borough election cost the borough when it's all said and done? Just off the top of your head, I know you don't have the exact figure.
I will tell you that my budget for elections is about $125,000 a year. I could be off on that if I remember. But that includes for that division, it includes staff. It includes also our service area elections and that we hold twice a year. So the actual cost of it, typically like the special election last year, I think we had a $125,000 isn't my budget, excuse me. That is what we got last year when we did the special election, was about $125,000. And we used most of that, but I couldn't tell you. I know it's a little under than that.
Mm-hmm. But you're a little more prepared for a regular election. So is it less than $125,000?
No, it's not, because, you know, we pay our election workers, which is the same. We have to do the advertising. We have to purchase the ballots and all of the things that we do to prepare for an election, the supplies and everything. So,
mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks, April. I know you do a good job. I talk to you once in a while. Yep. Mike mentioned all the people or several people that had gone before you. So I'm going to say, I hope you've got someone ready to go when you leave.
I'm working on that.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Right, thank you. Yes, and there is, it points out, there is a lot of preparatory work. And you have, well, you bring people in. I want to say volunteers, but they do get paid. Mm-hmm. And there's several weeks worth of work that goes into just sorting everything out, preparing the machines, getting all the equipment necessary. So there's a lot of work that goes into an election. And do you remember the question that I forgot that I was going to ask you? Uh-oh. Had to do with Kelly's call. Well, we'll have to go on. That'll come to me later. That was on, the number of people in that can pick up absentee ballot forms. That is on the day of the election. That's different than an absentee ballot, correct?
Correct. So a special needs ballot is a form of absentee ballot, which is what Ms. Nash was calling about, where a representative can come pick that up. They can do it during the early voting station time that we're open and in-person absentee. But folks can also, prior to that, once we publish our application, which we have to do that every year in January, we have an application for by mail where you can request a ballot by mail or to be sent to you by electronic means, which is by email. And folks can do that. There is a deadline for by mail. The deadline for by mail is you have to have that application turned in to us by September 30th to the borough clerk's office. And by electronic, you can turn that application into us by noon the day before the election to receive a ballot. So there are a couple other ways to be able to vote besides just in-person absentee.
Okay. And with that, we are up on a quarter to the hour, so we need to take a break to hear some weather report and some words from our sponsors who make this program possible. So you're listening to Problem Corner, and my guest this morning is April Trickey, and we're talking about the local elections, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
You find your calm and steady out on the trail, wherever Alaska's wilderness calls you, and you keep answering that call every time. The next hunt, the next fishing trip, or camping with the family. Living in Alaska gives you the opportunity to explore. Finding your Alaska is a journey that will always lead you just beyond your next campsite. Frontier Outfitters is here so you can be there. Alaskan proven equipment, the brands you trust. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
No one needs to tell you when your sewer line or septic system is broken, it's a mountain of a problem. Move that mountain with Moving Mountains Excavation and General Contracting. Complete sewer and septic system installations, new builds, and repairs. The experience and the equipment to get your job done. On time, on budget. Call for your free quote, Moving Mountains Excavation and General Contracting. Move your mountain. Call Scott and Julie at 907-590-4977.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
The Hungry Robot is your 50-50 Friday offer of the week. Bogan, pepperoni, chicken bacon, spicy Islander, Buffalo Blue, J-Popper, Supreme, and way more. Taste their wood-fired brick oven passion for pizza. All baked to perfection. All half price for 50-50 Friday. Across from the Mattress Ranch on the Old Steeds, you'll see those big wood-fired copper ovens. Pickup and delivery. See their menu online. Visit thehungryrobot.com. Wood-powered passion for pizza. The Hungry Robot.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
KFAR weather.
Isolated rain showers likely today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 47. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance for rain becoming mixed precipitation. Lows level off around 32. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and with me in the studio is Borough Clerk April Trickey. And we have a caller on the line. So let's go take another phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR.
Yes, this is Eldine Kilburn, and I have a question. I just voted at Bentley Mall. The only place that there is any indication that you could even vote there is on the south door in a little yellow posting. Huh? I want to know how come there's not a big sign, and how come there's not a posting on every single door so that you know where to go.
Good point. April.
Well, that's a good point. We have not got our sign up, and I can't tell you, we had a bigger sign up at Sharper's Farm. I think we are working on that. And the point regarding just the one side of the door where we've advertised on the Michael side, I think that's awesome. I will actually correct that and make sure that we get another sign on the other side of the Bentley Mall and let people know where that's at. So thank you for calling and letting me know about that. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, thank you. I think we have another one. Let me try this button. Good morning, you're on KFAR. And who am I speaking with? We don't. I had a wrong blinking button. All right. So, thank you, Aldine, for pointing out we need to get better signage so people know where to go. Probably would be a good idea to put a sign at Shoppers Forum to point them to the Bentley Mall.
Yes, as long as Shoppers Forum will allow me to do that, I can do that.
All right. Well, that's why we need the people calling in. We have another call. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on KFAR. And who am I speaking with?
Hey, Mike. This is he who cannot be named.
Ah, yes.
Your mic levels are off. Check your mic levels.
Uh-oh.
Speak more into the microphone. And April, great having you on here. You sound wonderful. Mike sounds like he's in the bathroom in the back of the shower. So you guys have and Mike, come on, get your poop together, and you guys have a great show. Talk to you later.
All right, thanks a lot. Good morning, you're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Randy.
Randy, what's on your mind?
Well, I've heard some ads lately suggesting that people should vote early, not just for the convenience or because it might snow on election day or whatever, but have some kind of test or something of the voting system, and I don't really understand quite what the ad is saying there. But my question is, I mean, I have confidence in the voting system machines here, and if I vote, I always vote on election day myself. But my question is, let's say that nobody voted early and everyone voted on election day. What methods do you have or do you use to ensure that everything is working properly? In other words, do you have a random sampling of something, or do you pre-test your machines with mock ballots beforehand? You put 42 for this candidate and 57 for that one, and see if it comes out right. Or what methods do you use to verify that the machines register the papers that are stuck into them properly?
Go ahead.
All right. Well, thank you for the question. So we do logical and accuracy testing on the machines before they're deployed to the precincts, and which does exactly what you suggest there. We put a number of ballots that go through with a number of votes for different candidates, and we come up with that total to make sure that they're working. One of the things that I would say is about the new manual verification audit, which isn't something, it's new to the borough this year, but many election, they do this across the nation in many municipalities and also in state elections. But it's not just the early voting station that is having a manual verification audit done, which is a hand count. We're doing one contested race at the early voting station. And also the canvas board will be randomly drawing two other precincts of the 32 precincts. So they'll draw out a precinct and then the two precincts, and then they will randomly select a contested race through a drawing that out. So actually three total precincts, if you would look at the early voting station as a precinct, will be having a manual verification audit done. So we are doing that audit for the precincts on election day too. It's just going to be randomly selected of the 32 precincts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I have confidence. Thank you.
All right, very good.
Bye.
Yes, that is a good system. And okay, the next question is, why don't you hand count all of them? And that's just amount of effort. And that is, I believe the precincts have to be 5%. Oops. I'm not sure of that number right now, but that you do select a couple random precincts out of the total and hand count the ballots from those machines to verify that the machines are working correctly. And the assumption is if those are, then the rest of them must be too.
That's correct. So you're thinking about the state regulations, Mr. Prox, my representative. But so if the difference is under 1%, then they are, by code, the machine results are official. If it's there's discrepancies that over 1%, then we're required to do a second hand count to complete to make sure that there is accuracy of the machines, the machine totals. If that continues and we go through this whole entire process, and the information that I'm kind of giving to you right now is actually available on our website that you can read. So if there is a discrepancy from the second hand count, then we have to include two additional randomly selected precincts and races. So we have to then make our manual verification larger to cover more of the precincts. And then if that continues and it finds out that the results are not accurate, then we move to where we actually have to hand count all contested races once we go through this process. I don't anticipate that to happen, but that process is there, and it's there to ensure for the voters that the results that you are seeing are correct and accurate. So there is a process to go through that.
Right. And the candidates can request a recount as well.
They can. By borough code, if the difference between two candidates, the top two candidates in a race, is 10 or less, the borough clerk is automatically required to do a recount for that race. Once we do the final count, which is October the 14th, which includes our questions and absentee ballots, a candidate can come in and request a recount, but there is a fee for that per precinct. And there's a cost bond basically that they have to put down for that and pay for that if it's more than 10. If the results reverse, then they don't have to pay for it. And I'm really paraphrasing that really quickly on what code states. So I can talk more about that to anyone who wants to know about recounts.
Right. And is that, I haven't checked the borough's webpage, but on the state webpage, all of that is spelled out. Frankly, it's a little bit difficult to find, but it's there.
Yeah, the recount information isn't out there. I don't believe on our website it is in our code, but if anyone is interested, I can definitely get them that information and email it to them.
Okay. The important point is that it is, the recounts are available. We do use paper. It is all a paper-based system as opposed to a completely electronic system. And then there are ways to verify the accuracy of the count. And the other point to emphasize is that the machines are not physically connected to a modem until after the precincts close, and then there's a sealed port. The election worker breaks the seal on the port and then connects the modem, and that dials up directly to the borough clerk's office. Mm-hmm. So that's an important, because it is a little bit difficult for people to maintain confidence in anything electronic. There's something going on behind the cabinet, but there are several steps that the borough takes and the state takes where there's human intervention to confirm the accuracy of the machines. And this year there's going to be an extra step, and that's just fine. I'm all for it. The voters, if having a pair of eyes, a live person, gives more people confidence in the results, that's well worth it, because that's ultimately, that is the most important part of that. So good. Let's see. Now, have we missed anything yet? We've talked about absentee. I guess we should mention again that you can still apply for an absentee ballot. Mm-hmm. You can do that electronically or by mail, but there's some deadlines to it. There is, I hear the music in the background. I didn't time this well enough, and that means the satellite's going to come over here quick and take over. But thank you, April, for coming in and explaining some of the details of the election process. And people can, if they have additional questions, they can go down to the borough office and talk to somebody in the clerk's office and get the questions answered. So that's all the time we have. Thank you for being with us today, and we'll see you tomorrow. Of Alaska.
A suspended show about to make a comeback. Lisa Brady, Fox News. The Walt Disney Company just confirming that Jimmy Kimmel Live will return tomorrow after, quote, thoughtful conversations with the host. The company, ABC's parent,